Congregation, we open now for the scripture reading for the sermon, God's holy and infallible word in the first book of the Bible, Genesis. And we read from chapter 21, stanza 1 till, verse 1 till 21. So Genesis 21, verse 1 till 21. There we read God's holy word as follows, Genesis 21, verse 1. And the Lord visited Sarah, as he had said. And the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abram a son in his old age, at a set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abram called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abram circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abram was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. And she said, who would have said unto Abram that Sarah should have given children suck? For I have borne him a son in his old age. And the child grew and was weaned. And Abram made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. And Sarah saw that the son of Hagar the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abram, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abram, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abram's sight, because of his son. And God said unto Abram, let it not be grievous in thy sight, because of the lad, and because of thy bondwoman. In all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice. For in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And also of the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation, because he is thy seed. And Abram rose up early in the morning, and took bread and a bottle of water, and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder, and the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water was spent in the bottle, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs. And she went and set her down over against him a good way off, as it were a bow shot. For she said, let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him and lift up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven, and said unto her, what aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad, and hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation. And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad drink. And God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness, and became an archer. And he dwelt in the wilderness of Paran. And his mother took him a wife out of the land of Egypt. So far the reading of God's holy word. I preach the word of God this morning from the scripture part that we have been reading from Genesis 21, I'll read one verse, especially as text verse for the sermon, Genesis 21, verse 10, where we read, "Wherefore she said unto Abram, Cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac." The theme for the sermon is, by the promise or by the flesh. 3 points of attention. First point, God's way with Abram. The second point, God's way with Ishmael. And the third point, God's way with us. So the theme is by the promise or by the flesh. 3 points of attention, God's way with Abram, God's way with Ishmael, and God's way with us. Congregation, I read about a lady that loved flowers and blossoms so much, and she planted a vine at the base of a wall at the back of her yard. And it grew and it grew, but she was disappointed that there came no blossom on this vine. And one morning, well, she was looking at it and saw how it had grown, but disappointed that there was no flowers, no blossoms on that vine, she heard a voice from the other side of the wall. And there lived a disabled person, and that voice said, "Oh neighbor, I'm so thankful for the flowers, the blossoms that I see from your vine." So what happened? The vine had grown under the wall and grown at the other side, and there it blossomed. And when I read that story, I thought, yeah, there are a few lessons in it. One lesson is that we can do labor and feel disappointed. Think, what is the result? I do not see what I wanted to see. But the Lord, in a hidden and secret way, could have used it for a blessing, for a benefit for others and their souls. And the Lord is wise, what He reveals and what not. But the other lesson is, and that applies to this chapter, that the lady who did the work didn't get the result that she hoped to receive. And the one that did not, and that could not even do it, she got it. The disabled neighbor, she got a joy. And she got it, you could say, for free. She didn't labor for it. What a deep lesson is there in Scripture about that. We all know the word grace. At least the sound of the word, but do we know the contents by experience? What it means to live by grace, by faith. This morning we have read about Abram. And children, you know about Abram. You know the histories of Abram. And the adults do know about Abram. Sometimes you could even be jealous if you think about how he obeyed the Lord when the Lord called him to leave his land and his relatives and to follow the Lord, and he did. What a faith there was, what a trusting in the heart of Abram. What a willingness to leave everything behind. Is that in your heart? If the Lord would call you for mission work, I know He has to incline the heart, but if you think about that, is there something of that love of Christ in your heart received? Or if I ask that question to parents, would you be willing, by grace, be willing to let your children go? so that souls will be saved and the kingdom of Christ will prosper, if the Lord would call. Abram obeyed. He went. He left everything to follow and didn't know where he would go, but trusting the Lord. And maybe you sometimes think, oh, if I could have a life like Abram, if I could have a faith like Abram. But we know those other histories, and we don't even know everything. We don't know all the nights and all the days of waiting, how that was for Abram. We know that when the Lord came with his promise and he said, Lord, how can it be that I will have a descendant? I do not even have one son. And the Lord took him and showed him the stars and said, count them if you can. Such a multitude of descendants will there be for you. Oh, the Lord had to encourage him. He couldn't see it. And he even, in his not trusting the Lord, lied or didn't tell the whole truth. And isn't that a lie about Sarah? We can read in a previous chapter when he had to flee, when he had to go because of famine, that he was afraid that people would kill him because of Sarah. Where was his faith? So Abram was not different. He was a man that had to receive that from the Lord, to trust the Lord. And it happened even in all those years that he had to wait for the fulfillment of the Lord, of the promise of the Lord, that he and Sarah would have a son, that he listened to Sarah when Sarah said, Abram, I'm old. It's impossible for me to get a son. You are old. So we should do something so that the promise of God will be fulfilled. So take Hagar, my maidservant, and marry her and get a son from her. That will be our son. And so the promise of God will be fulfilled. And that happened. Instead of Abram said, no, God will take care of it. He has promised it. And it will be your son and mine. Now he did it. And they got a son, Hagar and Abram. They got a son, Ishmael. And Abram was 86 years old. But the Lord kept his word. And in due time, there was a son born from Sarah, Isaac. When Abram was 100 years old, so 14 years later. And can you imagine how they have thought in those 14 years? Well, this child is the fulfillment of the promise of God. We will be built. There will be a nation that comes out of this child. So, yeah, they did it. They had a plan. And Abram married Hagar. And he got a child from her. And now they thought, this is what it has to be. This is the fulfillment of what God has promised. And it was not. In due time, in the time of the Lord, Isaac was born. And then there's a day that he is weaned, which means that he is old enough that he can have his own food without getting it from his mother, sucking the food from his mother. And so maybe 3 years old. So then Ishmael is 17 years old. And there's a feast, a meal. And then something happens. And then Sarah is seeing that Ishmael is mocking with Isaac, that young brother of him. And Sarah says to Abram, Abram, listen, You have to send this bondwoman, Hagar, and her son away. Oh, and that was so hard for Abram. You can understand that. That was so grievous. That was totally against his flesh, against his desire. He thought, this is impossible, this is not good, this is wrong. But the Lord told Abram that he had to listen to Sarah and had to do it. And so, and that shows that the Lord can go and does go ways in the life of his children that are totally against their flesh, against their natural desire. And still it is his way. There might be someone here that is experiencing that. And God is teaching things and doing things in your life that are painful for the flesh, that you would never have thought about, that you would go such a way, never desired it, and if it would depend from you, you wouldn't. And still it could be the way of the Lord to fulfill his counsel in your life. It was hard for Abram to do it. And we have to see that this situation is a situation that is commanded by God, and as such is not a general thing, is an exception. So we cannot say, okay, if a son does something wrong, mocking his brother, we should send him away out of the house. No, it's not a general thing. It's an exception. It's an exceptional situation here. In general, we have to say parents should love their children in the same way as much as possible. Show love to their children in the same way. It's not wise, was it, from Jacob, that he took Joseph and gave him a garment that was so beautiful that his other brothers became jealous because he loved Joseph more. And with all that came out of that, it's not wisdom. And we can understand that others will be hurt if we would show more love to the one than to the other. So let us be wise and show love as much as possible to our children in the same way. But here is an exceptional situation. And God would take care of Ishmael. He promises it to Abram, like he can do. Yeah, God can do that. I remember I was a wife of a pastor in the Netherlands who had cancer. She had a young family. How hard it is. If you have to experience that. She knew, I have to leave my children behind. Till the Lord came in her heart and gave her that confidence that he would take care of her children better than she could. And he did. God is able to do that. So there are exceptional situations in the Bible. You know, even in our time, it's good to be aware of that. If you think about what happened when the people of the Jews went to Canaan, and they had to kill all those peoples living there, then now it can happen, I read it happened in the Netherlands, that people would take the Bible and read those histories. And all the people were killed, the women, the children. And they say, you see, the Bible is the same as Quran. Christianity is the same as Islam. And that's not true. It was an exceptional situation, a command of the Lord, because those peoples had sinned the measure of sin full. In their fornication, in their adultery, in sacrificing their children to their idols. And God punished them. But it is not true. It's a lie that Christianity would be the same as Islam, or extreme Islam, killing everybody who is not a Muslim. That doesn't happen. You will not find Christians doing that in our days, because it's against the Word of God, the general teaching of the Word of God. But we do know that there will be a day of judgment that will be more severe for those that continue in godlessness than it was for the people living in Canaan, who had to die because of their sins. Oh, what a deep way it was for Abram that he had to send his son Ishmael away. And God was teaching him in this way. It was the plan and the counsel of God. And there's a deep spiritual teaching that Paul is using in the letter of the Galatians, that Isaac was a son of the promise and Ishmael was a son of the flesh. Ishmael was born by what Abram could do, and Sarah, and their insight, and their thoughts. But Isaac was born because of the promise of God. And it was totally impossible for Sarah and Abram. And they couldn't think a way to fulfill that promise. But it was from God's side. So what a difference by the flesh or by the promise of God. And we will come to that later in the third point, what it means for our life, for our heart. So there they go. Abram has to send them away. Ishmael and Hagar. God's way with Ishmael. That was hard. But was it not a result of what Ishmael had done? He sinned when he mocked his brother. And in a certain way we can understand that he did it. Imagine that you grow up and have a rich father until you are something like 13 years. You think everything my father has will all be mine. And your mother tells you that. And then there's a boy born and he will get everything. And not you. It's hard. It's difficult. And if you see the attitude of Hagar, his mother, when she became pregnant, while Sarah was not, she became proud and despised Sarah. And that is sin, because it's all the gift of God. It was not something that she had from herself. And it was the sovereign government of God in the life of Sarah. So Hagar did wrong. And her son Ishmael did wrong. Yeah, mothers have a great influence in the lives of their children, don't they? The way you think, mothers and fathers. Mothers spend usually more time with their children. But it's true of both of them, mothers, fathers. The way you think has such an impact, such an influence in the life and the heart of your children. Oh, if you sincerely fear the Lord, they will sense it. Very young, they will be aware of that there is something more important in your life than the things of this world. That your heart is desiring the invisible things, to live to the glory of God. That you found a treasure in heaven that cannot be stolen. They will be aware of it. Oh, God might bless it to their hearts. Is that the case in your life? What a responsibility it is to have children. So Ishmael mocked his brother. You say, well, yeah, of course he did. No, he should not. And we should not. If we are in such a position that someone else, by the ruling of the Lord, the sovereign ruling of God in our lives, is getting a higher position that maybe we desire to have, or expected to have. We shouldn't be jealous, but we should find rest in the providence of God. Is that possible? Or remember Jonathan, the son of Saul, who would be the king, you would assume. But God took David from behind the sheep, and he would be the king, and Jonathan knew. And he told David, you will be the king, but remember me and my children, my descendants. And they were friends. They loved each other. And it's possible. It's because of the fear of the Lord in the heart of Jonathan that he could give up his position because he saw it is the will of God. It can be done if you know what is prepared in heaven by grace for you, a poor sinner that do not deserve anything other than the punishment of God because of your sins. Then you can have peace in such a way that is against our flesh. And there they go, Hagar and Ishmael, they have to leave. But God promised Abram that he would take care of them. And also the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation because he is thy seed. So here is, you could say, an outward blessing of the covenant, which is not enough to save the soul. Oh yeah, the goodness of God should lead to conversion. But we need more than the outward blessings. But Ishmael is receiving it. God is saving his life. It says when the water is finished and Hagar is weeping, then it says, and God heard the voice of the lad, the son of Abram, and God saved his life. And afterwards, he became a nation. But his mother took him a wife from Egypt. How sad. And we do not read, no, that he was saved. Although God showed so much goodness to him and took care of him, of this son of the bondwoman. What a warning there is that there can be a blessing received by us outwardly. God is giving us prosperity. What does it do in our lives? Does the goodness of God lead us to conversion? And yeah, you could say, there's also a punishment, a chastisement. There's a punishment because of his mocking with Isaac. And that should have humbled him. But we do not read that. So how is it with us? There can be hardships in our lives. And everything comes with a purpose. That it should humble us before the Lord. There can be blessings in our lives, prosperity, and it comes with a purpose that we should see, that we would see the goodness of God. And while he is taking care for our physical needs, and he is able to take care of our spiritual needs. In the meantime, we remember what a trouble it brought in the family of Abram, that he married Hagar. But God gave Adam one wife, so that they would be together in unity and faithfulness. That's what Scripture is teaching about marriage. And it has to be a lifelong relation of faithfulness. And what a blessing it is. And what an attacks there are in our time to destroy that. And what a damage it does to a family when this is not a practice, that there's one man and one woman in unity in marriage, in faithfulness. What a trouble it gave to Abram. What a grief it gave to him and to Jacob. So we see it happens in the time of the Bible. While it was a common use in those days, but it was not a blessing if it was done. And oh, there's so much temptation in our time. There's so much temptation not to be faithful in marriage. Because the devil knows if he can destroy marriage, that unity that the Lord has given between a man and a woman, he will destroy families. And he knows families are like cornerstones for the church and for society. And the devil hates it. That there would be a safe family where children are brought up with a loving father and mother. I know we are not perfect. But with that desire to love our children and to lead them in the fear of the Lord. What a blessing it is. The Lord is using that so many times to keep his church from generation to generation. Let us pray for that love and faithfulness, especially when we remember all the grief that comes out of where that is broken, what God had given, that marriage between one man and woman in faithfulness. And God took care of Ishmael. How good he is. How long-suffering. That he is providing even in the lives of those that do not fear him. But how terrible if all those benefits, all those blessings that God has given, one day will testify against those that do not fear the Lord. That do not know Christ. That do not acknowledge and confess their need of him, their guilt and sin. Their need to be washed by his blood. God's way with Abram, with Ishmael, with us. There is a deep teaching in this history of Abram and Sarah and Ishmael. And Paul is using it in Galatians 4. He says in Galatians 4, verse 21, "Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do ye not hear the law? For it is written that Abram had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, and the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh. But he of the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory, for these are the two covenants. Covenant of works, covenant of grace." So what does that mean for us? Do you understand that? Children, young people, what is the deep teaching for our hearts in this history? It might be that there is someone here that is aware, like I was when I was a boy, that things were wrong in my life. I didn't live the way I should live. I did sin. I was not converted. And oh, if I would have to die. So there were times that I tried to improve my life. To read more in Scripture. And to pray more. And as such, that is good. I hope you do that. And I try to leave sins away. But I found out I did not succeed. His sin was too strong for me. It could be that there is someone here that is trying to work, to be good enough, to be acceptable to God. You think, oh, I have to change this. I have to do that. And if I leave that away, then I might be acceptable to God. Then it could be that I receive grace and be saved. You do not see what grace is. Grace means undeserved. And now you say, if I do this, and if I change that, then I might be good enough to be acceptable to God. So you want to make yourself deserving to be saved? You want to make yourself worthy to be saved? That's impossible. Oh, if you think that you do pretty good, that shows your blindness. If you think that if anybody could be saved, it's you, because you behave so well, then you trust in your self-righteousness. And that is deception. That's deceiving yourself. That is in vain. What a serious thought. If you would continue that way and have to stand before the Lord for a holy and righteous God, and then all those righteousnesses that you think you have appear to be filthy rags that cannot cover you, and then it is too late. So you should discover before it is too late that it is impossible to make yourself acceptable to God. Why is Paul using that? Well, you know, there was a church in Galatia. There were people that were converted, that had heard the gospel and were drawn with the power of the word to know Christ and His saving work. But afterwards there came other preachers, and they told them, yes, it is Christ, it is grace, but you should know that if you do not this, and if you are not circumcised and do not that, if you do not keep those laws, you cannot be saved. So what happened? They would, think about Christ, but at the same time, think about what they had to do. And immediately their peace and assurance would be gone. Because when would it be enough? And when would they do it in the right way? So they were brought under the law of works to be good enough to be saved. And Paul says, oh, cast the bondwoman out and her son. So that's what we need. That the Lord will show us that all our works are like filthy rags. That we cannot cover ourselves with it. Like Adam and Eve tried to do it with the leaves and couldn't. God made them clouds. We need that righteousness of Christ. That wedding garment to cover our guilt and sin, and that alone. Oh, how much we need it. That God will cut off everything outside of Christ, so that He will be our only hope. And that's painful for our flesh. Do you say that I'm not more acceptable to God than that drunkard that's not attending church? Yeah. In yourself, you are as hell worthy as the other one. Our best works are full of stains of sin. Our prayers, oh, they lack the reverence, they lack the concentration. They are not like they should be, our studying and reading the word, our donating money, our good works. It's so full of self, to feel good about myself, that people will think good about me. Our best works cannot cover us before a holy God. It's in vain. That's what Paul saw. He was a Jew. He was circumcised. He was a Pharisee. He was blameless according to the law. But then when the Lord Jesus came and was shining in his life, he cast it away like dung, because it was a hindrance for him to come to Christ as a poor sinner. It was in between his soul and the Lord Jesus, that only and one Savior. He was way too proud to be saved as one that deserves curse, damnation and punishment. He to be saved by someone that died upon the cross? Is that what he deserved? That punishment? I'm not so bad. People can say that. Sometimes I would ask it and I visit it. Do you have sins? And sometimes even older people could say, I suppose that's what they say. Yeah, it's not so bad. I've always lived a good life. And so you could see, you could tell they were not aware, not convinced of it. So what we need is what Paul experienced, that the law came in. You know, to change the outside, we can do that. We can do it in a way that people esteem us high. But when we see that the law says, thou shalt not covet, and Paul said, then the law came in. Then I saw that God would judge even my most deep thoughts and desires. I couldn't change it. Then I saw it's hopeless. How can I be saved? I've done so much. I cannot do that. I need to be saved by someone else, and he died. He lost hope in himself. So that Christ would live in him. That he would flee to him and him alone. You understand that? It became hopeless from your side. That it became a miracle that Christ came to save sinners. That he came to save the ungodly. Not by works, but by faith alone. Cast the bondwoman out and her son. It's not by the flesh, not by what we perform, not the plans that we can make, not our thoughts and insights and our strength. No, Abram, it's not Ishmael, but it is in a way that it is impossible for us. It's Isaac. It's by the promise of God. You know those promises? The blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is washing from and cleansing from all sin. It's the only way to get rid of your guilt and sin. That you come as a poor beggar at the feet of Christ. And it's such a miracle. Oh, the miracle becomes greater and greater. The more you know him, the more you see him, and you will know yourself. The light of Christ will shine in your heart, the light of the Spirit. And you will discover more and more of depravity inside. And the miracle becomes greater. And the gratitude. And you see that you will need eternity to give him the glory, the praise, the honor, the thanks for what he has done in that one sacrifice once forever. There is a way, not in you. Oh, if you try to catch at that side, you have to be at the other side, at the word of Christ, at His promise to come as an unworthy sinner at His feet, to be lifted up, and to your amazement to see not wrath and anger, but tender love in His eyes, that He is receiving sinners and saving them, so that He and He alone will receive the glory. And He will keep them, and none of them will be taken out of His hands. Oh, His work is sufficient for the chief of sinners. What a miracle. So are you trying to make yourself better, to find comfort for your soul, or are you dishonoring Christ? But you say, I have to change. Yeah, but it's His work, and His work alone. When His love is shed abroad in your heart, then you will hate sin more and more. And you will love to do His will, because you see His goodness, His grace, for such a poor sinner as I am. And that is the way that He does it all. He is the one that is washing by His blood and Spirit, but also the one that is renewing, so that His image will be seen more and more to His glory. What a good Savior. Why would you perish? Amen. Congregation, let us close with prayer. O Lord, we thank Thee for Thy word. Without Thy word, we are in utter darkness. But we also need the application of the Holy Spirit, that the Spirit will apply the word to our hearts and open our eyes, that we will see our hopelessness, so that we will flee while it is a time of grace and while there is a way in Christ for sinners, for those that cannot save themselves. Lord, bless Thy word to our hearts. We all need it. We all have the same heart by nature. And after receiving grace, we have a fight against that old nature. There will be a conflict between the flesh and the Spirit. O Lord, so that we learn to know ourselves deeper and deeper, but also the riches of Christ deeper and deeper, so that He will increase and that we will decrease, that He will be all. Lord, be with us this day of rest, day to be silent before Thy face, to hear and listen what Thou art speaking, that Thou would bring us together in this afternoon, and that Thou would speak by Thy word and Spirit to our souls, that Thou would speak, I am Thy salvation alone. Lord, be with us. Thou knowest our sins, our doubts, our unbelief. Oh, the bands that can bind us. Lord, oh, forgive us. Be merciful unto us and show Thy might and power in saving out of our corruption and depravity to have that perfection of Christ, that sufficiency of Him, to know it by faith and to be acceptable to Thee for Christ's sake alone. And Thou would look upon us in Him, Thine only begotten, Thy beloved Son. Lord, protect us on the dangerous roads. Keep us. Keep us from sin. We thank Thee, Lord, for Thy goodness.
and hear us. In Jesus' name, amen.